Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Down to the power.
That's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another live edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your 3-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday night, June the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2022. Episode number 546. That's right, 546 episodes of, hey, thank you, John, of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, and you're here for it. We got four more shows before our big anniversary of at 550 on July the 28th. So stick around. I got some big plans for that night. I'm hoping we can bring a big show to you guys. We try to bring you a big show every week. So that was, again, guys, we open up the show with a great video from the boys from After the Fall, RFL Records artist, After the Fall. And we want to thank John Marhefker and Dougie Franklin and Sam Bone, everybody at RFL, and all the boys in the band, of course, for allowing us to premiere that video for Ride or Die, one of my favorite RFL record bands. And I have to tell you, they're all my favorite. I got to be honest with you. They're all great. I love those guys, Matt Ferranti and the boys. They were on the show a few hundred times, and we love having them around. Maybe somewhere in the road we'll get them on the show, but a great song and a great video. I had a lot of fun watching that video. It's a good video. So good job by them, and lots of luck with the single and the video, and I'm sure big things to come from After the Fall. So check out RFORecords.com for more information on that band and all the great artists at RFO Records. So you know how I feel about Johnny and the label. So, John, you're welcome, and thank you for letting us play that. But we got to kick it to high gear. It's been a long week. It's almost over. We got a lot to talk about. I mean, I'm driving home today and I get the word Kevin Durant wants out. Kevin Durant has requested a trade. How horrendous has this 3 years been for the Nets? I mean, people are talking multiple championships. Kyrie has basically sabotaged it. They brought in the big three with James Harden and they played 50, Kyrie and Durant have played 58 games total in 3 years together on the court. That led to one playoff series win for the Nets. And now they're – I did not read that they wanted to be traded together or to the same place. And we all know that Kyrie opted in to his one-year $36 million deal because he could not get the max deal from the Nets, and smartly so. But Kevin Durant has, surprisingly to me, requested a trade. And, now if I were the Nets, I get the best deal I can, and I would try to trade him to the worst city possible. They do not have to grant him his right. I would trade him to the worst team in the league to get the best deal I could get. Anything to get him off the books, get some draft picks and some players, but I would make sure he goes to some place where he can never win again. Yeah, John, I love you too, my man. So we're going to get Jeff's take on it. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Deshaun Watson. We got the Texans being sued. Warren Sapp, Knox, Colin Kaepernick. We're going to talk about, are the Eagles the best team in the NFC East? There are people picking them, and they're saying that they're the best team. The Yankees are on fire, running wild out there. Again, we'll talk about Kyrie. Keyshawn's talking about the top five scariest quarterbacks in the league. We got that and so much more to talk about when we kick off the show, which we've done just now. So why don't I bring on my partner in crime and the sexiest man on his side of the screen. He's the Pope of this show. And my best bud, Mr. Jeff Tomlinski. What's up, Efe?
What's up, man?
Oh, Jeff, all good down on this end of the court. Just looking forward to a fun show. And I'm really looking forward to a short day tomorrow and a very long weekend.
Wish I could say that.
Yeah, I know. This is... You know, these are really the rough weekends for you when you start getting these holiday weekends and people going to the parks, and I'm sure you got vehicles running around all over the place. Makes it for a busier weekend for you, no? Okay.
That's one thing.
Okay.
Second of all, I go to work all weekend.
Yeah, I know. That's
there's no fucking – I got to work Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Thank you, Sam Bone. Thank you for setting this all up, and much appreciated to all you people down at the RFL. You know, we love you guys. So anytime we can be of any help.
I don't know if you can see that, but I have my little helper in the background there.
I do see Basil sitting on the bed.
Yeah, I'm babysitting.
You're babysitting? Will she sit there the whole time, or do you have to keep an eye to make sure she's not making the leap?
I got to keep an eye on her to see where she don't make a leap of faith. If you happen to see something and I'm not paying attention, let me know.
I will keep a little eye in the background, my friend. I will definitely keep a little eye in the background.
But she doesn't know where she is. Thank you, Sam. She knows where she is. She's on a blanket. She's on the bed. So
yeah,
should be safe. But she's with me because I don't want to mention names. Somebody else who's in the house is not here right now.
Uh-oh.
Doing the right thing.
Well,
so this is why she don't call her mom anymore. Called her by her first name, Sharon.
That's it. Well, let's see how long the show goes. We don't have a lot of time. I tell you, this is the rough part of the year for me because there's very little football talk. I got a couple of topics. We'll talk a little baseball with the Yankees. We'll talk a little bit about the Kyrie and Kevin Durant demanding a trade, or at least Kevin Durant is asking for a trade. I won't say demanding. We got a few topics to get to tonight, Jeff, but this may be a little bit of an early show. We'll see.
I want to open this on air. I opened this earlier, but I want to open this on air.
Okay.
This is from the fellas over at Hemp Wizard.
Oh, yes. I did see your post today. Tell us all about it.
So, I got my package.
Okay.
I ordered it last week. I just wanted to show everybody on air how this comes. They package it real nice, so your stuff stays safe. And I got my usual Cushmints.
Uh-huh.
Again, that's the conditioner. And then I got my, how you doing, Michael?
We're just about to promote your product. Go ahead, Jeff, show them.
And I got another bottle of the Cushman scented oil, beard oil.
Mm-hmm.
So this is good stuff, man. Let me tell you, good quality stuff. My beard feels so soft now after using this stuff. I ran out a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to have it back, man. This is the stuff I use this in the shower every day. When I'm putting this on, I got nothing on. Just remember that.
That's not a way to sell that product. I got to tell you the truth.
Makes my whole body feel nice and soft.
Well, beside the beard care products, they also have some, they have lotions, stuff for the ladies.
This is good. I'm telling you, Tom, this is good quality stuff. I'm really happy to be affiliated with these guys. They do the right thing. Mike is a total gentleman. We're friends on Facebook. And I know you're friends with him too.
Absolutely.
On Facebook.
And Joe Cassano, and Mike Weissman and Joe Cassano, two great guys. They've been a part of the show. And thanks to the guys from Black Sasquatch. But, I'll tell you, they're great guys and they go out of their way for us. They make us videos. And, of course, they make a great product, and we're happy to have them affiliated with the show.
Fine, gentlemen, and thank you, John. But it's always at time is expensive, Steve. So.
John, I think it's pity laughs. I think John's got pity laughs for you because he feels
it
bad.
It's
like watching a special need kid, coming off the bus. He's going to trip and fall, and you can't help but laughing.
Of course you laugh at the special needs kids.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
So you got a lot to...
It's
a unique beard wash because it not only cleans and conditions and nourishes your facial hair all at once. Jeff, does it ever make its way down to the nether regions?
There's no hair there, Tommy boy.
Oh, see, now we didn't need to know all that. we didn't need to know that. So. But again, guys, make sure you go to Beard, Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co. Check those guys out. They have great products, and we're hoping these guys grow to be big and famous, like the MyPillow guy, and they take us along for the ride.
And more importantly, huge supporters of the show.
Absolutely.
They stop on us several times a week while we're on the air.
Yeah.
Hang with us for a few minutes. Mike, by the way, you nailed your Stanley Cup prediction on the head.
Yeah.
You said the Avs in six, and it was the Avs in six, man.
Yep.
Congratulations. You know what you win, don't you? I got this piece of candy. But I'm going to eat that. So that's what you would have won.
Had you been close by, you might have had the piece of candy.
Yeah, there you go. I'm even giving you two.
Well, we do love the guys, and Jeff's a huge fan. He tells me off the air how much he loved He loves the beard product, the beard care product. So make sure you guys support them. I put it up there a couple times a week, and I put it up before the show. All the people who support us, not only Mike and Joe at Beard at Hemp Wizard, but Sam Bone and the people at RFO Records, John Dougie, Sam, Sean, the whole crowd, Jay Giacio and Chris LaFrancesca, all the people who kind of throw their names and, you know, help us try to promote our show each week. So thank you. And our good friends at Black Sasquatch.
Speaking of throwing in names.
Go ahead. You throw a name?
I would just like to go on record. Yeah.
Well, by all means.
There was somebody that played cornerback many, many moons ago.
Okay.
That nobody would throw at, especially within his own division.
Okay.
The NFC East, and we're talking about Mr. Deion Sanders.
Okay.
Possibly the greatest quarterback of all, or cornerback of all time.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
And I'm going on record as saying that the New York Giants were afraid of Deion. Neon Deion. Totally afraid. That is all.
The most overrated cornerback. Maybe the most overrated player in NFL history. Overrated. One-way player. I would tell you that right now, Deion Sanders' uniform is probably the cleanest uniform in the Hall of Fame.
Please.
So, hey, yo, Mike.
I'm a Giants fan, being jealous once again.
You know, Mike, I you know what? College football has definitely becoming a two-league, 12 teams. You know, maybe I can rattle them off. But it's going to be the Big Ten with Michigan, Ohio State, let's see who else, Wisconsin, Penn State. Then, of course, it's going to be Alabama. Then you can throw in Clemson, Notre Dame. You know, you're going to have a handful of teams in this country that have any chance of winning in the playoffs. USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 and headed to the Big Ten. You know, how are these teams going to play in this cold weather every week, or every other week when they play teams? Their schedule is going to be packed. You know, I don't like it. You know, I really don't. I kind of miss what we grew up with when you had these teams spread out and they were major colleges, and the bowl games meant something. It's all about the money. It's all about the do-re-mi, Jeff.
Well, let me ask you something, Tom.
Yeah.
And Mike, I don't know if you're with your cable packages. I know that ours here, at least where I am, I get about, close to 700 games a weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. College.
And most of them are colleges that look like they're high school teams.
Yeah.
That there's people, coming out of gymnasium with soda as, when you can see cars in the parking lot off to the side of the field. It's some very small schools. So I don't have a problem with putting all of these bigger schools into a couple divisions because I think it'll narrow it down. People want to see that. Do you really want to see like Wagner College versus USC or UCLA in the Rose Bowl? It's never going to happen anyway. So it kind of limits those teams to where they can go. Maybe some other teams will gain notoriety by having to fill in for these bowl games that they normally wouldn't have a shot at going to.
Yeah, but the problem is, Jeff, the Pac-10 now, who's watching Oregon or Oregon State and Washington State? I mean, you're stripping all the teams out of all these leagues that are any good, and you're putting them all in two divisions, in two leagues, and nobody else's league is going to matter. No, like you said, there's a ton of games on. I love college football. I get up on a Saturday morning in the college season. I watch College Game Day at 9 o'clock in the morning till noon. And then I'm watching games from noon until 11 o'clock at night. And I don't watch it straight through. I might go out. But I'm watching college football all day. And,
there's college football on all week long on ESPN.
Sure, absolutely, 100%.
It's amazing how many games there are. And during the week, especially Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's games all weekend long.
They're just making, it used to be the bowl games meant something. And you had the number one team, and there was always the argument, the fight over who's the real number one. And I like the playoff system, and I wouldn't mind them expanding it a little bit, but you basically made this down to two. The ACC is useless other than Clemson, and now what they're going to do is they're going to force Notre Dame to join one of these leagues and stop being probably the only independent team, or at least a major independent left. I mean, Texas is now up there. Now, you know, Texas is in the Big Ten. You know, the SEC. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I understand what you're saying, though, Tom. It still opens up other teams to gain deep time and to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to get some of these other kids that are getting drafted by somebody from these smaller schools.
Yeah.
Right now, you yourself said it, well, there's no quarterbacks to come out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
Well, that may be true. But now maybe you're going to see some kid that would have never been seen before.
Yeah.
And you get a chance to see them. You just don't know, man. I think we should just wait and see what happens at this point in time before we contend it.
No, I got it. But just in the theory of it, I don't like it. But, again, my dad's hanging them and getting them on. But the last piece of the puzzle, we got a bunch of things to talk about tonight. Like I said, it might be a little bit of an early show. We don't have a lot of topics this week. But next Thursday night, just for the official, will be the Jeff birthday show. So we do celebrate that every year, and next week is Jeff's birthday. So we will be celebrating it this next Thursday night here on the show. I believe that's July the 7th. We will be celebrating the Jeff birthday show. So make sure you guys come back. I'm trying to line up some guests and some videos, and you know, I got a couple of probably celebrity videos ready and lined up coming for Jeff. So we'll be having some fun with that like we do every year. I think we have one of them.
I hope we don't spend no money, man.
Dude, you don't have to worry about anything.
Fuck you, piece of shit.
You don't want me to get the Iron Sheik after you, do you?
Well, I would love to get the Iron Sheik after me.
but we got and we got our big topic tonight is going to be Jeff's and my top 10 list of all-time athletes. We're each going to go through our list of the top 10 athletes in history. I think it should be an interesting list. I kind of scoured the internet today for some ideas. And,
you know, that's cheating.
No, I did. Sometimes you get bogged down into the major four sports, and I kind of reminded myself of some people that I would put in the category. And I kind of developed my list of the top 10. Athletes of all time, and we'll have some fun with that in a little bit. We'll have a little bit of music stuff. I want to talk a little bit about. I started using Musician. I have to recommend that to everybody. We'll talk a little Kiss tonight, and we'll talk about a Kiss Museum in Vegas. I might have to think I'm right out to Vegas to the Kiss Museum. Of course, we're still waiting for the WWE Hall of Fame to open in Connecticut, which I got a feeling we may encounter a Jeff and Tom road trip too, but. We're still waiting to see when that'll.
Oh, what is this? John says, Tommy, can I send you my list?
Of course.
I think that if John, oh, wait a minute now.
Okay.
This needs to be voted on.
All right, good.
I believe that John should come on with his list.
I think that's even better.
He hasn't been on in a while.
That's
one,
true.
John, you haven't been on in a while. Two, you've been ducking us. You don't show up for any Hard Rock and Sports events anymore. I don't know what the issue is. What's the matter? You don't want to come on with us? No, you're embarrassed. And three.
Yeah.
Should be here once in a while, man.
All right. Well, let's see if we get John on. We'll do a little preview of the Sunday Audible show.
If you have a list, if you're not here in person, your list doesn't exist.
Well, we'll give John a few minutes to get his list together. Maybe he'll want to pop on. I'll send him the link to the show. In the meantime, let's get my dad on. Let's see what he wants to talk about this week. He always got something good to chat on. And, Jeff, just for the record, we've reached our highest ratings again. In Israel, we are up over 14.4% of our audience is in the motherland. So
what is going on over there? Why do they like us so much?
I do not know, but we have reached our highest ratings ever in Israel. So just for the
maybe do we have something in the background that you know that's pro-Israeli or something that they're watching?
I can't answer the question. That knows nothing on my walls, Jeff. But let's get my dad on and. And let's see what he's got to say this week. So let's get my pop up. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? First things first, Jeff, I won't be able to see you next week. I won't be here.
Why not?
I wish you a happy birthday. We're going away for a couple of days.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Come on, man. This is a big show.
Well, I'll try to talk to Mrs. Canceling. I guess
you know. I did cancel. What the fuck?
What's the chance is that going to be?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I just want to make sure. I wish you a happy birthday.
And I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Florio.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you very much.
The other one, Tommy.
Yep.
I give you the number one athlete that I.
Okay.
Lawrence Taylor. Everything is below him. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You can. That's just. It's just. Forget the drugs. I'm not talking about drugs.
Well, again, I think you have to separate.
That's why he was half the athlete he was, because he was high all the time. Come on.
If that was the case, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah, I've been doing crack.
I don't know, Mr. Florio, you're a small little white man. He's a very large African-American with a very huge build and a short temper. Although we thought you had a short temper when we were kids, turns out you really didn't.
I want to see those pictures. But I even asked Tommy, why does he keep saying that I intimidated him? I don't think we ever spoke.
That's just it.
You walk in,
put your head down, small grown man mustache, and I'd be like, "Hey, how you doing, Mr. Florio?" And you're like, "How you doing, Jeff?" And you walk away, and they're like, "Oh, he hates us."
Why don't we go down the basement? Right, Tommy? Put his head down.
He's talking Highland Boulevard.
Muffin didn't like you. Oh, yeah. So she, I used a barometer.
We heard the footsteps coming up the stairs. We were like, oh, shit, I knew we should have left a few minutes ago. He's going to see us now. He's going to yell at us.
Jeff, I got to tell you, even Paul said the same thing to me. He says, I was intimidated. I said, it didn't take much to intimidate you.
That goes to show you that we weren't wise-ass kids.
We weren't a tough crowd, that's for sure.
You were a good kid. Yes. Getting down to Kevin Durant.
Oh, boy.
Listen, the owners, I have no pity for them.
No, I don't either.
I hope everybody does it because they all did it.
Yeah.
They all do it. They don't have a backbone.
Well,
here's what
it comes down to. You let these two guys come in and dictate everything from who coached the team, who's on the team. You know, they brought in DeAndre Jordan because Kyrie wanted it. They got rid of the coach because Kyrie wanted it. They brought in Kyrie because Kevin Durant wanted it. They brought in James Harden because both of those guys wanted it, and it turned into a giant mess that they've done. They won one playoff series in 3 years. I have no pity for the owners, and I think these two guys, to me, are the biggest assholes in the sport. If you want to lay it down,
no, I don't blame them, Tom.
No, Dad, of course you do. They came in here and saying, we're going to bring in championships. We're going to go out there. We're going to do it. Pay us all this money. Give us all. This is the biggest reason, Jeff, for not letting athletes run the team is they came in, they screwed it up for 3 years, and now they're running out of town.
How about the owners, Tommy?
I blame the owners, Dad. I got you, but this is the biggest reason for not happening.
If it gives the owner the impression that it might work and they may get a championship and it's going to put asses in the seats, they're going to go with it every time, especially if they get some big names. You know what I mean? Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and who was the James Harden?
Yep.
That was an interesting lineup right there.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't get two big idiots.
Play at the same time.
But even when they did, they weren't successful, Jeff. Even when they did, they weren't successful.
Tom, you can't be successful if you're not building any kind of
chemistry. Sure.
That's why you play the game. You don't play the game on paper.
But again, you
play
yeah.
in the stadium.
But what you learn is you can't just suck. Right.
They
you
really do.
But you can't let the inmates run the asylum. Because that's what happens here. So not only did they screw you up, you know how many draft picks the Nets have gotten rid of over the next 5 years? In the next five years they don't have a number one draft pick. Because of all these trades and things that's gone on. Now they're going to try to recoup it by trading Durant. But think about it. They came in, wasted 3 years of this franchise, brought in nothing because they just, you can, if you, listen, what do I want the president GM of the league being the point guard? Of course not. Come in and do your job. You're the point guard, be the point guard. You can't be the GM of the team. And you can't let Kevin Durant run the team because he's Kevin Durant. He's got no pedigree for doing it. I don't have.
No, he doesn't. You're 100% right, Tom. But you know what? Once again, The owners don't care about winning. The owners care about there's 82 games to put people in the seats and make more money that way. Yes, they'll make money if they start winning championships, but it's about the 82 games to get to the playoffs is where they make their money, and you know that. And that's what's more important.
They want that television contract.
But think about the harm that these 3 years have done. Not only have you done nothing for 3 years, the next two are probably useless. Because now you got to put this team, you can put it all back together.
You're right. But you know what? If that team made an extra $50 million for just to throw a number out there, because I don't know what it is, the owner doesn't care, Tom.
I think
they're not going to make $50 million if they win a championship.
I got you, but I still think, listen, Jeff, when the guy who owns a team is worth $4 billion, $50 million extra, and again, we're throwing a number on, you're 100% right, it could be $150 million. It could be $10 million. I have no idea. But at the end of the day, it's embarrassing to the organization, and it should be embarrassing to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It should be completely embarrassing.
You're right, Tom. But once again, sports are not what it was in your dad's day.
It's not our day.
Okay? It's about more money. Day. It's about making money.
Yeah.
If you make money, they're successful. Championships and trophies, that's second place. It's all about making money.
If it wasn't,
they wouldn't do the things they do.
The worst thing they did was when they got a contract, TV contracts. But then it didn't matter. I mean, I tell my son a story. They were telling Pittsburgh Pirates, who had one of the worst teams in baseball, they couldn't fill up a row of people. But because of the sharing of the money, they made a profit of $26 million. That's after they paid all their expenses, salaries, everything. They made a $26 million profit, and they were the worst team in the major leagues.
I'm glad you brought up the Pirates, because I was actually going to bring them up as an example. When was the last time that the Pirates had anything to them? Back when Willie Stargell won the World Series in 79-80?
Yeah, I would say no. They were the Barry Bonds years. Before he left to go to San Francisco, they were on a bad team with Andy Van Slyke and that crowd.
They never came close to the World Series.
They have not won a World Series, but they were a good team. But, okay, you want to talk about championship? Yes, 79 is the last time.
I'm just talking about being a relevant team in Major League Baseball. They're one of the only teams that since the last World Series they won haven't done anything at all, probably have one of the worst, if not the worst, record in Major League Baseball in that time span.
Possible.
And you know, they're just a terrible team.
Yeah.
And they're going to make some money. They're going to make a profit. You know, it ain't from putting money in people in the seats.
No, it's from what my dad said. It's from the revenue sharing. So the guy, teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Mets all share their money, and they make a profit based on that.
The big deal that they were talking about, they were talking to from the Yankees, the GM.
Cashman.
And what they were trying to get into the new contract was that those teams have to take that money and spend it on.
Absolutely. Well, they should have put the ceiling. They should have put the floor in, Dad. That's the problem. In the new basement, they should have put in a thing where they have to spend X amount of dollars each year on their team. That's what they should have did, because you're right. You know, that's the problem. They're getting the money and they're not spending
money.
It. Yeah. Yeah, and they're making money by not spending any money.
That's what it is. They put it in their pocket. They wanted them. Steinbrenner said he wanted them. He said, if I got to pay a luxury tax, or if I got to pay all of the share my money, I want them not to put it in their pocket and go to Florida over the winter.
Yeah, they should
they
have
to take that money and spend a certain amount of that money to improve the team.
Or they should have to pay a tax, like instead of the tax where you spend too much money, like the luxury tax. If you don't spend enough money, you got to. Let's say you have to spend at least $70 million a year on your team, and you spend $40 million, then you have to kick that $30 million in out of your pocket to make it up.
That's not going to happen.
I agree with you. Yeah. The owners won't do that to themselves, but that to me is the fair thing.
Just to give you an idea, I was watching a show the other night, and they had it. They were going about Joe DiMaggio when he sat out. He went to the hospital. He claimed he had something wrong with his foot.
Right.
And he couldn't play, but he really was trying to get a raise.
Right.
I think from 46 $51,000 a year, and they wouldn't give it to him. Now you're talking Joe DiMaggio, okay? What the Yankees did to him to punish him, they made him sit out, they made him come back, they made him apologize for what he did, and then they had the audacity to dock him for all the time that he was out. And he, you know, I'm just showing you the difference. The pendulum goes one way.
Oh, absolutely.
The pendulum goes another
way. And yeah, Jeff.
You got to think. The players had no leverage back then.
Zero.
Contract.
Yep.
There was no, I'm demanding a trade.
Yep.
There was no none of that. No. They were like, you're under contract. You're a New York Yankee. That's it. You ain't going
that's
anywhere.
It. Well, that was
you
anybody.
Play or you don't play, and that's it.
Yeah.
It was a shame. It really is.
Tom, I will be right back. I got to take the dog downstairs.
Go ahead. Do what you got to do.
Before you go, I'll be going. Happy birthday to you and many, many more.
Nice.
And I'm not a mean person.
I never said you were a mean person. I guess that we were just little sissies back
you
then.
You were little sissies. There you go. You had your skirt on. Take care, Jeff.
I'll be right back. I'm just going to take it downstairs. I'll be right up.
Yeah, Jeff. No problem. All right, Pops. So, real quick, what do you think? What do you think of the Yankees? You know, a lot of people. I'm listening to the fan all day, and I don't know if you're hearing it on the regular shows. But a lot of people question whether the Astros are really the best team in baseball right now.
Well, again, we can sit here all day and you can, whoever you want, you can say the Astros, the Mets, this one, that one. Whoever wins the World Series was the best one.
Yeah.
Houston has a good team. The Yankees, I think, this is not the best team that I would say I saw. Even over the 98 or the 61 Yankees. This is not the best team I ever saw.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I will say they're just as good if anybody else. Listen, you don't expect them to go on this kind of win forever. Sooner or later, good pitching 99% of the time beats good hitting.
I agree with you, but the
and
problem
that's what
is.
Happened with the Yankees.
But here's the problem. You know, the teams that you expected them to have problems with which is the Blue Jays, Tampa, and even the Astros, the Yankees are winning. I mean, they just went.
They're pitching. Look at their pitching, Tommy. Their pitching is nothing to do. If you get a home run hitter and give him shitty pitching, he's going to have fun.
Yeah, but just all you can do is beat the teams that are on your schedule that night. Right, but they weren't supposed to beat Tampa this year. They weren't supposed to beat the Blue Jays. They were supposed to be the two best teams in the division.
But that's why you play the game.
No, I agree with you. So I agree with you. All I'm saying is, you know, to me, if the Yankees, the big test for me so far this season was this last 13 games where they had to play Tampa, Toronto, Tampa, and then the Astros. And to me, you're lucky if you go 500, 7-6. They went 9-4. They went 9-4. Yeah, so
they have a great team.
Yeah. So again, I'm not saying they're the greatest team I've ever seen. I don't know. This is a very good team. It may be a weak league. I don't know. If they go in the World Series and they win 116 games, you know, then we have to talk about it a little bit. But right now, I'm just enjoying it. And to be honest with you, they're gonna play Cleveland this weekend. They're horrendous. They're going to play Cincinnati coming up. They're horrendous. They're going to play the Texas Rangers. They're horrendous. And the best team you're going to see in that, I don't know. There's like one decent team. It's not their fault. Just go out there and beat whoever you can. Last year, we beat them up because they went 9-9 against the Orioles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what? You can't blast the last year for beating losing to the Orioles, and then this year they beat whoever's in front of them. I just don't like the fact that they're starting to get a little too reliant on the three-run homer again.
I agree.
You know, a few weeks back, they were winning games with different ways, so I worry about this team in October, although I think the pitching staff's been great. The bullpen's been great, and they're getting hits from guys – like Trevino, the catcher, kind of Falefa, the shortstop. They're starting to get big plays from those kind of guys.
And you got to watch when they go around the league. You got to let somebody, before you start talking about a ball player being really good, he's got to let people see him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Because they adjust to what he can hit, what he can hit, what he can do.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's going to be fun. Jeff, what were you going to say?
You know, they still have overall in Major League Baseball, they have an 8-game lead over the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
And in their own division, they're 13 up on the Red Sox. They got 151 of a run differential nobody else is, that I could even see right off the bat is, okay, the L.A. Dodgers are 129. I understand what you're saying, but I think it comes down to the Yankees. You know, they went through a little bit of a rough spot. And because they go through a rough spot, everybody panics and waits for them to go back to the Yankees of old. I wouldn't do that until they're there. You know, yeah. they weren't going to play like an 800 clip the rest of the season. No, it's virtually impossible.
To me, you played three of the best teams in the American League, and you went 9-4. I would have been happy getting out of there 7-6. One team you have a tough time beating, and two teams who were supposed to win the American League East be number one and two, and you beat the crap out of all of them. To me, this Yankee team's going to win 100 and something games unless they fall apart. They're going to win 100 and something games.
But you know what? What they do during the regular season doesn't mean anything. They need to continue that and have momentum going into the playoffs.
100%. But
you can win 162 games in the regular season and then lose three in the playoffs and you're done.
No, I agree. But I still say you got to enjoy the season. You can't just say October.
I agree.
But as a fan of the team, it's nice to look up and your team's, you know, coming up on the All-Star break and you've only lost 20 games. You're about to go into the All-Star break, probably in winning 60 games. Some teams don't win 80 for the season. They're going to have 60 wins probably, well over 60 wins. Before the All-Star break. That's pretty good.
Right, so even if they go 60-20, right? Okay, so they go 60-20, 40 games over 500. Do you realize that if they go the rest of the way and they're only 25 games over 500, people are going to say that they're starting to collapse?
Sure, of course they are.
That only means anything on the field.
Right.
When you start getting to the playoffs, now you're playing against teams with – you're facing their best pitches. You're not feeling watching the garbage.
I totally agree. But everybody starts to say things as soon as they start to see things. And as soon as they see the Yankees starting to have a little bit of a rough patch, they're going to say, oh, here we go again.
Well, they're going to have it. You know they
are. Sure, of course. It has to happen.
It's impossible.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's why I would rather my team gets hot after the All-Star break than way before the All-Star break.
You know, to me, just play consistent football. Just play consistent baseball. Sure. And beat the teams you can. And listen, we also know that at some point, Cashman's going to make a deal, and he's going to improve part of this team. I mean, listen, you can make a couple of moves here and shore up the team a little bit. And don't forget, you still got to get back Chapman. You're still going to get back Loaiziger. You're still going to get back Domingo Herman, who was one of their better pitchers before he got hurt. You know, there's still three or four guys who aren't even on this team that can help them. Besides making a trade.
Of course. But, you know, you realize you got to look at it this way, right? 162 games, minimum, 1,458 innings they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot of baseball.
Absolutely.
Man. And they're not going to win every single one of those.
Nope. Just go out and win what you can.
Nobody gets hurt.
That's the big thing. That's the big thing.
If you start getting pitching hurt, you're going to be in trouble.
But, you know, this team has played seven, almost, let's say they played the other day. I'll use the stat from the other day. They played 75 games. Their starting pitchers, from the guys who started the season, have pitched in 71 of the 75 games. And the four games they didn't, two of those games were doubleheaders. And then two games, Boone said, let me stick somebody else in there and give the guys a break. They have had not only a lot of success from guys like Tyone and Montgomery and, of course, Cortez, but they've also been remarkably healthy. So let's hope it continues. And, you know, get out there a big lead, and then you can kind of tinker and give guys days off. And, you know, you get like Jeff said, let's keep the momentum going and build some big momentum in September. And you got to like the team's chances. Who knows? Well, that's what baseball's all about. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
All right, guys. I want to let you go.
Yeah, Pops.
I enjoyed my time. Jeff, remember what I said? Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Mr. Sparrow. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. And
Pop,
Tommy, I'll see you over the weekend.
I'll definitely see you over the weekend, Pops.
No problem.
See you guys later. So that's my daddy checks in every week, and we love having him on the show. He's got sometimes a very interesting perspective on things.
Yes, he does, but he's seen a lot,
yep.
And you have to listen to him. And the only thing that I could say is that the older generation held on to the older generation. And if he can have baseball and sports the way that it was when he was watching it when he was younger, mm-hmm. I bet you he would take it in a heartbeat.
Oh, sure. And, you know, I don't know, you know, like, it's always very nostalgic to look back and think about it easy and, you know, how huge baseball was. But then again, there wasn't, you know, you didn't have a lot of TV back in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of options summer night in June or July in 1956. If you were a fan, you were probably listening on the radio or you were going to a game, and when they hit TV in the 50s and 60s, there weren't many options, three channels. So of course it was used. Nowadays, you know, hundreds of channels, you got streaming services, you got major, you know, four of the major sports that seem to play year round. You know, baseball's you know, one of those games that has survived, but it's not the same game that my dad knew growing up.
No.
Not even one that we grew up and saw.
No, definitely not. It's definitely changed.
Yeah, of course. So, but, you know, again, guys, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom here tonight on this Thursday, the last Thursday and the last day of the month of June. We kick off July 1st tomorrow. And, guys, we hope you have a safe and happy 4th of July. Hey, Jeff, I got to ask you. So out here in Jersey, we don't see a lot of fireworks from the locals. You know, there's a lot of parks and, you know, townships have their fireworks displays. You know, when we grew up in Staten Island and far as back as when I was living in there, you know, I lived on Ocean Avenue right before I moved away. And, you know, on my block, there was a couple of people who would just take over the whole street, setting off fireworks. Let me ask you a question. Is that still a big thing on Staten Island on 4th of July?
You see fireworks, but it's spurts.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's the only thing that the police actually do over here.
Shut down the fireworks?
Blowing stuff off. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I used to miss that time. I mean, leading up to 4th of July, now that you're mentioning it, I mean, I sleep with the air conditioner on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the windows are closed and my house is pretty quiet.
Right.
But I don't hear nothing Major League going off. I don't hear firecrackers. I don't hear,
yeah,
you know, anything exploding. Every once in a while I hear a whistle and that's about it, and a snap.
Yeah.
But they've killed it, man. They've killed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's PD that's put the damper on it. Maybe just, you know, I think the wussification, you know, well, I mean, I remember when we were kids, I lived next door when I was growing up to Von Breezen Park. And if on the day of the 4th of July, you could go into the park and find fireworks all over the place. And I remember going to do it with Paul or Ronnie Worms, and yeah, you would find these unexploded fireworks, and we were dumb enough to set them off.
Of course, and there'd be a haze in the place.
Yeah.
And smoke everywhere, and every once in a while you hear a bang.
Yeah.
You know, because something else would go off because it was near a fire.
Yeah.
Nowadays, forget it. You know, here and there you'll see some spots, you know, somebody on the Center Island and Highland Boulevard blew some stuff up.
Right.
Or some dead-end street, but they pretty much took the fun away from it. And you know what else, Tom? You know what else took the fun away from it?
What's that?
And I'm not condoning this, but with all of the safety checks,
mm-hmm,
to combat drinking and driving,
right?
It seems as though you're not getting the same amount of people that are going from person to person's house for barbecues,
sure,
and everything else.
Yeah.
They'd rather just stay at home. And then, you know, if you knew that you were having 10, 15 people come over your house, you know, you may end up getting a couple things for 4th of July to light off. Now it's like, well, we're going to stay home. And, you know, well, what's the point of going out? Like, this 4th of July, I got to work. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going anyplace after work on 4th of July. We were invited to a barbecue.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be getting up at 4:30 in the morning. I'll be to work at 6.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to race home, take a shower, get dressed up again, and then go outside and sit in somebody's hot-ass yard.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to worry about, like, well, you can't drink too many beers because, you get caught, you know?
Yeah, they're out there looking for you. Yeah, I've never been the big 4th of July blowing things up person. It's never been my thing. I do enjoy 4th of July. I'm staying home. My parents are going to stop by. I'll throw a couple dogs on the grill. Nothing spectacular. We'll just, you know, kind of hang. And again, another, you know, 4th of July and there's no Yankee baseball, which I don't understand. How
Why?
Could – yeah, there's no Yankee baseball on 4th of July.
What do you mean?
There's like no game. They're not playing. They're off.
Really?
Yeah.
How fucking stupid is that?
Quite
possibly the most American team in baseball, yeah. And they're not playing on 4th of July.
They're not playing on 4th. They didn't play on Memorial Day, and they're not playing today, and they're not playing on the 4th of July.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. There's no baseball for the Yankees on the 4th of July. It makes no sense. I mean, I would say give them off on Sunday if you had to play a game on Monday, because it makes no sense. You have people home barbecuing, hanging out, and there's no Yankee baseball on. It just makes zero. You know.
That makes no sense at all.
Yeah. So
you know another reason why too that I don't think that there's as many fireworks and everything else as there once was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were kids, very few people, if any at all, had a gas grill. Everybody had charcoal. So, you know, you starting a fire when you got home from work and cooking a couple hamburgers
mm-hmm.
was not something that was happening on a regular basis because,
no.
You know, once you had to light the fire, you had to wait for it to get warm.
Sure.
And you had to put it out.
It was a lot of work. It's a lot of work to do a charcoal. I have a charcoal grill. So I only do it when I'm going to turn on to and have a big, you know, or do quite a few things, because to come home and light up a charcoal grill to do a couple hot dogs and hamburgers,
yeah,
it's not worth the effort.
Yeah, my wife, I go outside, I light the grill for her. She goes outside, puts a few things on the grill. I come back inside, and all of a sudden, she's like right behind me. I'm like, oh. I said, we got to go back outside. No, it's done.
Yeah.
So it takes less time to cook outside than it does inside.
100%.
And, you know, it's a lot easier. So I think that takes a lot of the fun away of it from people.
I agree.
You know?
I love to barbecue on charcoal. It's a pain in the ass, and you got to really – pay attention what you're doing, because, you know, it can take you forever if you don't get the grill right, if you don't get the hot spots, whatever. But it's the taste of it, the fun of it is amazing. But, yeah, you're right. You know, when we were kids, that's what you did. You barbecued on charcoal.
Once the lighter fluid goes away, for me, that's just...
Well, I use the self-igniting charcoal briquettes. I'm a fan.
You know, like you said, that's something else where, you know, it takes a while to get it in.
And then
I couldn't care less if it lit itself up. I'm still pouring fucking lighter fluid on it. How often do I get to start a fire?
That's true. That's true. But
Lou Toro used to have his annual Lou Toro 4th of July barbecue at Duff's.
Oh, really?
In Brooklyn years ago. Yeah. And he had it for... I don't know, 3-4 years in a row, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And one year, we went a couple years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And one year I was cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I ended up getting the chance to cook, but
uh-huh.
I was cooking. And I think I played there one time during the barbecue either, too.
Uh-huh.
But there's one picture of me floating around. I got to find it. And I'm standing in front of a fire. There's got to be a fire, a flame. It's got to be 3-4 feet off the grill. And I'm over there with the fucking flame, you know, the lighter fluid pouring it on. But I'm like, you know, this is the reason we do it, you know?
Yeah, listen, and it's a lot. Listen, I like the barbecue. I enjoy barbecuing when it's worth it and all that, you know. And, you know, listen, with propane grills, and people have them have gas directly from their house, and, you know, no, not even propane. They're lighting up the gas grills. I enjoy a good smoker. I love to smoke the meats and all that stuff.
Oh,
I think that's the fun of it. When I can throw some chicken on there or a good piece of meat and just nice and easy cook it over a few hours, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, you've been smoking meat for a long time.
That was too easy.
You set me up for that one.
I did. On Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom. Having some fun here, almost 8 o'clock, and we have lots to get. We haven't even touched any of the topics at this point, but just to make sure
you've got to do the topic.
Oh, no, it's coming. Don't worry. We're going to get to it soon.
I want to talk about the Rams.
I'm giving John a few minutes to see if he pops up. That's the only reason I'm holding it in my back pocket. So give me a few more minutes. So, John, if you're out there listening,
Yes, till 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we're going to 8 o'clock. We're going to do the top 10, our top 10 athletes of all time. And we'll give John a few more minutes, but we're in the meantime, guys. Make sure no matter what you do, whether you barbecue, whether you go to somebody's house for a barbecue, gas, grills, charcoal. Make sure you do it safely. And, of course, don't drink and drive. And, you know, don't end up like JPP and have three fingers missing on your hand. You know, make sure you...
And still have a fucking great career at it, too.
Yeah. So make sure you guys do it all safe and make sure you keep it away from the kids. I was watching Channel 11 News this morning. My wife likes to watch that news for some reason. Anyway, I'm getting dressed this morning, ready for work. And they were showing how a sparkler can get hot enough to set somebody on fire. And it was just like, it was a mannequin holding a sparkler till it burnt down and got caught on a fire on their sleeve. And then the fire burnt it. I said, at some point, I would think, unless you're one of the special needs kids getting off the bus, when you feel the sparkler getting a little too hot, you're dropping it on the ground and you're stepping on it like we did when we were kids. But I guess today's kids might not be that bright, Jeff.
Oh, they weren't that bright years ago either, Tom.
Are you trying to say you burnt yourself?
I burned myself with a sparkler, yeah. I was in my father's mom's backyard, my grandmother's backyard.
Uh-huh.
And we had sparklers.
Uh-huh.
And I went over with my sparkler and I went over to the fence. And I took the sparkler and I laid it on the fence.
Uh-huh.
And I let it burn down. Now, this was the old-fashioned fences with it wasn't wrought iron. But if you've seen one, and you've definitely seen one of them before, it was old-fashioned fence.
Uh-huh.
With the steel bands holding the fencing up and stuff. Not wire, steel bands. And it's just a decorative kind of fence. But it wasn't a wire fence. It was hard to describe. So anyway, the band was maybe about that thick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, less than an inch, and I took the thing and I put it on there, and then when it was done, it was burnt and it was all like sulfury looking.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't glowing red, so I put my thumb on it. I was like, man. And I had the complete thumb was completely burned.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I remember screaming, of course, and yelling and screaming, and my parents coming over to me, what'd you do? And pretty much it was like, what the fuck did you do that for? Crack, you know? Stop that shit. You know?
That was the answer to everything. You screwed up, you hurt, a slap you in the back of the head.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And depending on, you know, what was going on with their night.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was even swifter and harder. Who knows?
Very,
you know, but
very possible.
The thing was simply that, like, you know, what the fuck is the matter with you little idiot, you know? Like, it is what it is.
Absolutely. The sparkler, which is the Olympic torch for the Special Olympics, of course. That's what they use for the Special Olympics, is the sparkler.
So I did my part in carrying it.
That's for sure. Jeff and Tom, Hot Rocket Sports. So again, guys, happy 4th of July to everybody. Remember to come back next week. We've got the big Jeff birthday show. So I'm going to reach out to some friends out there so you get some videos. And we're going to have some fun next week with the Jeff birthday show. And, of course, the 28th of July, remember, we had, not only is our NFL training camp show, that's the open of our football season around here, it's also our 550th show and 8th year on the air. So we'll be celebrating. One guest already, B. Brian Blair, the wrestler, will be joining Jeff and I.
Looking forward to meeting B. Brian Blair. Man.
That's right. He will be on that show. So he's live from, I think he's from in Tampa, Florida. So we'll get B. Brian Blair on and talk to him and some other guests. I'm trying to line up some people. We'll have some fun. So everybody stick around. We got a lot more entertainment. And then, of course, football season kicks off. And, of course, that means also, besides the Thursday night show, is the Saturday morning, Sunday Audible show with Jeff, myself, and John Marhefker. We'll be here just about every Saturday from July on, bringing you all the biggest news from around the world of the NFL. And lots of topics out there, Jeff. We're going to get you after the top 10 athletes of all time. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson. The case doesn't seem to ever want to go away. I'm going to talk to you about your number one pick. I see the Jet hat on. We're going to talk a little bit about Sauce Garden. I got a little something for you. As Anthony Rizzo deposits a home run, the Yankees are now down 2-1 to the Houston Astros in the, I think it's the fourth inning. So Anthony Rizzo just hits a laser beam, a line drive out. Jeff, I want to talk to you a little bit about Sauce Gardner, so we're going to do a little bit of that. We'll talk about Warren Sapp, who says that Colin Kaepernick had the absolute worst tryout of all time.
Yeah, I've read that, man.
I'll play a little bit of the video from that, and I got a couple questions on that one for you. But, Jeff, it's time for your top 10 athletes of all time. And it should be a very interesting and diverse list. And I'll tell you, I'm going to give you my theory on this. I did not go with many one-sport athletes. Like, I didn't, you know, there was a lot of the list that I saw had Michael Jordan, had Muhammad Ali, and these are great athletes, don't get me wrong. But I kind of went for a different take, you know, maybe multiple sport athletes or, you know, athletes who dominated on the international stage, because to me that's more the athlete as compared to, you know, I'm not putting Tiger Woods in the athlete department. I'm not putting some of these other, you know, I'm not putting, there was, you know, one, they had Joe Mauer, that did the Twins catcher, who was a great high school player. I'm sorry, I'm not putting all that in there. So anyway, I'm just giving you my theory. Jeff, you want to go first? You want me to give you my list first?
Well, I want to do
go ahead.
10 to 1.
Yep, okay, I got
and,
you.
And run it that way.
Sure.
So that being said, I think we should each take turns, and
okay.
I would like to hear why you have that person in that spot.
Okay.
Now, when you think about it, when you're trying to get 10 athletes on a list,
yep.
However you did it is fine.
Yeah.
But trying to put 10 qualified athletes on a list is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to narrow it down to 10 is something completely different.
Correct. It was difficult. I would agree with that.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of different criteria that we each put into this.
Sure.
So I want to hear, when you give me your guy's name, mm-hmm. I want to hear why you got that person in that spot.
Okay.
All right?
Whenever you're ready.
And I'm going to go first.
Go ahead.
I'll give you my 10th spot. I went with Mike Tyson. I went with Mike Tyson because as soon as he came out of the gate, Mike was just kicking the shit out of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He became one, the youngest heavyweight champion in the world in his time. Yeah, he had a rocky career at about the halfway point to the end. But, you know, that first half, he was just mm-hmm. unbelievable. The way he came out, I think he exerted so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be able to keep up the pace of what he was doing for as long as he fought. He was lucky that some of his early fights only lasted a round or two, because
right.
I don't know if he would have been able to go the distance, you know.
Yeah.
But that being said, he was such an athlete, he didn't have to go to the distance.
Mm-hmm.
He was just pounding the shit out of people.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I got him at my number 10.
Okay.
How about yourself?
Well, my number 10, Jeff, is Deion Sanders. And the reason, and I'm not a huge Deion Sanders fan at all, but the guy was a major player in two sports, dominated, you know, the NFL, was a fairly good baseball player, track star. So I went with Deion Sanders, and I liked it. I liked the Tyson one. Again, I kind of, you know, to me, well, obviously I think Tyson one of the greatest fighters I've ever saw. It just, to me, he's a boxer. Deion Sanders, two sports. Just a tremendous athlete in his day, and that's why I went with Deion as my number 10.
Okay. My number 9.
Okay.
Yeah, I went with hockey for this one.
Go ahead.
Wayne Gretzky.
Wow, I am very surprised by that. Okay.
Wayne Gretzky played hockey at a time
mm-hmm.
where there wasn't as many rules and, you know, and play stoppages as there is now to slow down the game. And, yeah, the guy was definitely protected,
mm-hmm.
but he had to go out there and play at his time. Unbelievable player, still holds the record for most points and goals and all of that good stuff throughout his career, and probably will for the remainder of it for a long, long time. And he has how many, God knows how many championships, 3 or 4 championships. So for that reason alone, I put him on my number 9. He might not have been the toughest hockey player, but I think he's a lot tougher than some of the guys that we got out there today.
I like it, Jeff, and he's one of those guys that was on my list of, I think, 15, and I narrowed him down, and I didn't take him again. He's a one-sport guy, but the reason I had him on the list was because he played in a time where hockey players didn't move like he did. You know, guys did not get around the ice and make moves and skate the way he skated. And that's why he was such a great athlete, that he changed the whole way the game was played right after him. And so I think it's a great choice.
And your number nine?
My number nine, Jeff, is Jackie Joyner-Kersee, who might be the greatest woman athlete of all time. So this is a woman who, in college at UCLA, dominated the basketball court. She was a four-year starter. She had, I think, almost 1,200 points in her career there. So good that UCLA named her one of the school's 15 greatest women basketball players ever. But this was a woman who won 8 gold medals in the Olympics, World Championships, Pan Am Games in the heptathlon and long jump, and she holds the world record in the heptathlon, and she has 6 of the highest scores ever. This is a woman who dominated not only the college level and basketball, but on the international stage in the Olympics. And, you know, that's just, to me, an amazing feat. So I went with Jackie Joyner-Kersee as my number 9 athlete of all time.
So far, no doubles?
Nope.
So that leaves me to number 8. My number 8 was Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Okay. I think that he his career spanned a long time. He was a world champion. Three times he was undisputed world champion?
That's correct.
When you watch him, he didn't have the most intimidating build. He was actually kind of tall and lanky and kind of thin, but he just moved. And the guy was successful. He was a winner. People knew that to get to the championship that it had to go through him. And he fended them off of it, so more often than not. I don't remember very many of his fights. But I remember one particular fight. Mm-hmm. He was fighting Ernie Shavers.
Mm-hmm. I remember Ernie that Shavers fight.
Was giving it to a man, yep. Pounding the fuck out of him. Mm-hmm. And Ernie Shavers was laughing at him and smiling at him and everything else. And in the end, when it was all over, they raised Muhammad Ali's hand. He had what it took, and he made it through. So the guy was able to beat you with the knockout. He was able to go the distance. He was able to do a lot of different things in the boxing world. So for that reason alone, he's my number 8 athlete.
Wow, good choice. Very good choice. Jeff, for my number 8, I broke my rule. And my rule normally is I will not pick an athlete for a list that I did not physically see. Probably should have been the number 1 on my list, but because I didn't see him, I can't put him at number 1. But when I give you his list of credentials, you'll see why he had to be on my list. Jim Thorpe played college football, played college baseball, lacrosse and track. On the football team, he played running back, defensive back, kicker, and punter. He's a 2-time All-American and inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. He also, before he went pro, was in the Olympics. He won the pentathlon and the decathlon and participated in 17 total events, the most ever for an Olympian. He also played 6 seasons of Major League Baseball for the New York Giants, as well as playing for the Canton Bulldogs for most of his career, and won 3 titles with the Bulldogs. So here's a guy who played pro baseball, pro football, was in 17 different Olympic events, won the heptathlon and the decathlon, as well as being a college football Hall of Famer. Jeff, that I get it from a different time, but that's pretty truly remarkable.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
So I chose him as my number 8. Should have probably been number 1. Most publications would have him that.
Be number 1 without a doubt.
Yeah, but because I didn't see him, I had to keep him a little low on my list. So that's why. So
listen,
Jeff, that's
I can't fault you for the way that you feel, but I will say this much. I wouldn't have been able to fault you if you put him number 1 on your list.
No, I agree with you. But again, for my own, I went a different way, but that's okay. So my number 8 is Jim Thorpe. Jeff, your number 7 is?
Mickey Mantle.
Wow, look at that. I'm you shocked me twice.
Oh, Mickey Mantle made number 7 on my list for a couple different reasons. I got to say that, you know, he was an excellent center fielder. He was an excellent power hitter. He was fast on the bases. He's still a relevant name in baseball today,
mm-hmm.
even though he's been out of the league for, what, close to 50 years?
Yeah, 68, I think it was right. His last year.
So you're talking about somebody whose name is still known, more known than some of the people that have played after him. I bet you if you would ask somebody, Don Mattingly or Mickey Mantle, they wouldn't be able to tell you anything about Don Mattingly, but they'd be able to talk to you about an hour of Mickey Mantle. The guy was just an excellent player, and there's still people still compare players to him to this day. So for that alone, I say he's got to be on the list, at least on my list. I don't know about your list, and I have him at number seven.
Interesting. Number seven at number seven is very nice there. A little good touch if that's...
That was not intended.
Okay.
Just happened the way it was. But, yeah, that is cool.
That is cool. And listen, you'll get no argument from me. I think Mickey Mantle was a freak of nature, especially in his time, a guy who was clocked at 3.1 seconds down the line to first base in an era where guys were not known for their speed. Hit for tremendous power, was a great outfielder. Yeah, you'll get no argument for me. Mickey Mantle definitely is one of those guys who was a freak. I love guys like that, like Gretzky, like Mantle. To a certain extent, like Ali, you know, on your list. You know, you pick guys who changed their sport from what it was because of their skill set. I love that about your list. When you go through your list, most of the guys on your list so far have been guys, you know, Gretzky comes into hockey, you know, guys were big and slow and, you know, nobody moved like him. And, you know, I think it's a great kind of theme for your list.
Well, listen, we each looked upon this a different way and I'm glad.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see who else you have on the list. I so far would not have picked, well, I didn't, would have even have thought to pick anybody that was on your list as of so far. And there was a couple of people that I thought I was going to put on the list, but I was like, nah. But let's see where else you got, man. You're number seven?
My number seven, again, is a guy I never saw play, so he had to be a little higher on my list than I wanted him to be. But Jimmy Brown. Jim Brown basically is known in a lot of circles as maybe the greatest running back of all time. Some people, you will argue, if they saw him play, will say he's the greatest player of all time. He's a guy who's a huge back who can run. College Football Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He won three MVP awards. He averaged 104 yards a game and 5.2 yards a carry, completely unmatched. But also in college, an elite lacrosse player. And had lacrosse been a huge sport in the pro levels like it's been, could have easily been a pro lacrosse player. He's in the Lacrosse Hall of Fame. And, again, one of those guys who was just an athlete who was so different in his time for sheer size and speed that had to make my list. I wish I could have put him a little higher, but I have him in at my number seven athlete of all time.
Before I give you my next pick,
yep.
I just want to say something. I noticed you put two football-orientated players
mm-hmm.
on your list.
Yep.
You're not going to believe this when I tell you I do not have one football player on my list.
That's surprising. As much as you love the game, I am very surprised by that.
And the reason why.
Go ahead.
For me, there's a reason why, and I was kind of hoping to hold on to this, but I just wanted, because you got too many football players compared to my list as it is. That's
yep.
why I wanted to explain.
Go ahead.
I just felt as though that as athletic as football players are, and they are athletic.
Absolutely.
What is the most that you're going to actually see a football player be athletic? If you're a wide receiver and you're running a deep route, maybe 6-7 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So they're athletic without a doubt,
mm-hmm.
but they're playing in spurts. They don't play for more than, even if the guy is to take off and run the ball 95 yards, he's probably down to the end of the field in less than 10 seconds or about 10 seconds. You know, don't get me wrong. Incredible athletes.
Absolutely.
But I just took that into consideration to know that a lot of these other sports, some of the guys that I have on, and I'll go into it a little bit deeper when we're done and explain more, but I just wanted to say why I didn't pick any football players as of yet. But I will explain more when I get past my number one pick.
Sure. And here's my thought process, Jeff. I did not choose any football player, and there might be a couple more on my list, who were just football players. I went for guys who were multiple sports stars, whether it's, you know, baseball and football, lacrosse and football, you know, guys who were athletes. And when I say athletes, and I agree with you 100%, I would not have put, you know, I would not put Tom Brady on my list. He may be one of the greatest football players I've ever seen, but I don't consider him a great athlete. You know, these are guys that I chose. Deion, you know, multiple sports. Jimmy Brown, multiple sports.
They're great athletes in their own right.
Yep.
But I just think that is when you're talking an athlete, you're talking about somebody that does more.
I agree with you.
Call Tom Brady a great athlete, I would say he's a great quarterback. Okay?
Right.
And a quarterback is an athlete, but he's not an athlete first. He's a quarterback first.
100%. I agree with you. Your theory is 100% correct. Again, that's why I did not choose a player on this list who didn't have a second, let's call it second career. It couldn't just be, you know, Emmitt Smith, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys. He, you know, it had to be, you know, Bo Jackson or somebody who had multiple things. But let's continue with the list with your number six pick, Jeff.
My number six pick, Mario Lemieux.
Wow, okay.
Pittsburgh Penguins. The reason I picked Mario Lemieux at number six is Mario Lemieux was stricken with cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
Played while getting treatments, left the game to get treatments, and then came back and won Stanley Cups, scoring titles, probably would have been the single season leader in scoring if he did not get sick, because that's the way he was heading. So that's the only reason that Gretzky probably still has that record is because Lemieux got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then he still played for several years afterwards. He was a big dude. He was another one that changed the game. You know, when you say about big players, I remember Gretzky, he was a, like kind of a small, slight guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you had some of these bigger guys, you had Mario Lemieux, you had Eric Lindros, John LeClair.
Yeah.
You had a couple other guys that were big.
Yager. Yager. Yeah.
You're talking about some fucking men.
Well, guys who could really move on the ice.
Yeah. You know, Edmonton Oilers. I'm not going to say they were small, don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to say they were as big as some of those guys we just mentioned.
No. And, different type of team.
Once Eric Lindros hit the scene, if you remember, his brother Brett Lindros went to the Islanders.
I do remember that.
And that was a big thing for the Islanders because they figured that they had their big man in that division, especially with Eric Lindros and LeClair. And there was another guy on that team that played on that line. I think his name was Fedek. It was a Swedish guy. I can't remember the name right. I don't want to say it.
Yeah.
Not Fensick. I think it was Brett Fedek.
Okay.
But it was the Crazy Eight line, I believe they called them. And, well, bottom line is that's we got too far off the thing.
No, it's okay.
That's why I picked Lemieux. You know, it was a new style hockey player. Guy just was good for the game at the time and would have rivaled Wayne Gretzky if he did not get sick. So that's who I have at number six.
Nice pick. I like it. I hated Lemieux as a human being. I hated him as a hockey player. But no denying his, again, another guy who kind of changed the way the game was played with big men on the ice. And before Gretzky, you had big men who were usually slow and, you know, maybe had hard shots. And then Lemieux came in there and could skate the crap as a big man. So that's a good pick. Jeff, my number six is going to be a little off the wall. I think for me it is. But when I tell you about his resume, you may change your mind with it. So my number six pick that guy tried to steal home plate and got tossed out. My number six pick is Dave Winfield. And the reason why I picked Dave Winfield is Dave Winfield was drafted after college into Major League Baseball, the NBA, the ABA, and the NFL, even though he never played a down of football in college. In college, he went to Minnesota. He was a star on the baseball team and the basketball team and led the Minnesota Golden Gophers to a conference basketball championship in 1972. Went on to play 22 years in Major League Baseball. He was voted 12-time All-Star, won 7 Gold Gloves, 6 Silver Sluggers, and is a Baseball Hall of Famer. A couple of World Series titles. Here's a guy who didn't play a down of football, yet was drafted by the NFL, I believe by the San Diego Chargers at the time, was drafted in the NBA and the ABA, and then chose to play baseball once drafted by the, I believe it was the Padres, San Diego Padres.
Yes. Played the Padres, yes.
So my number six, you know, if you watch Dave Winfield play, and I'm sure you did, we were both, watching Dave Winfield, was a guy who was a tremendous athlete, great bat, could run, could sky to take home runs away from people. Jeff, my number six athlete is Dave Winfield.
You know, one thing I remember about Dave Winfield. Oh, man, baby.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I remember Dave Winfield being able to extend his arms a lot further than a lot of other guys. He was tall. He was lanky.
Mm-hmm.
He had this this stance where he just kind of like bent his knees a little bit, but he just, there was so much of him. It was unbelievable. Like, he was able to get on pitches that were way out of the strike zone.
Oh, yeah.
On the outside part of the plate. Tremendous player, without a doubt. But,
yep.
You know, I got to look up his stats after the game just to...
Yep, by all means.
Something to do. Check it out. I believe you. Don't get me wrong. No. I just want to see what he did over his career.
Please.
My number five pick on back onto the number 10 list is another hockey player.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of hockey players on my list.
I see that.
I went with Marc Messier.
Okay, great. Another
great
player. For
a variety of different reasons. He was a scorer. He was a fighter. When he said that he was going to do something, he did it. Case in point, where he said that they needed to win and they were going to win, and he guaranteed it. He took the team, put it on his back, came to New York, and pretty much single-handedly made sure that the Rangers won a Stanley Cup. He got some of his friends to come from Edmonton to help him out. But without Marc Messier on that team, the 94 Rangers don't win the Stanley Cup. I don't care what anybody says.
Very true, very true.
I don't care who they had on that team. He was just an unbelievable player, unbelievable talent. I think you'll see a hockey player more in the vein of Gretzky and Lemieux before you ever see somebody like Marc Messier on the ice again. I just don't see it ever happening.
I think from a talent standpoint, I might disagree. But as an overall player and a guy who's a leader and a guy who could come into a locker room and change things around, I couldn't agree with you more. Marc Messier was the ultimate captain, the ultimate locker room leader. And if I was building a hockey team, if I couldn't get Marc Messier, I'd want a clone.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah, so it's a great pick, Messier at number five for Jeff. And, of course, you're listening to the Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom. Top 10 athletes list we're doing here on the show June 30th. So thanks for popping in. And we got a little more time to go, and we got a few more topics to get to. So let's get to
still no doubles yet.
No doubles yet, and no John yet. So we'll continue on with my list at number five. I went completely off the board on this one, Jeff. And I most people will know this guy as an actor more than they know him as an athlete. And I just think the guy was in phenomenal shape. Moved like nobody I had ever seen when I was growing up watching his movies. And I go back and watch YouTube videos. And to me, Bruce Lee was just a tremendous, tremendous athlete. And, you know, he was at some points on my list, he was number one. He was probably the first guy I thought of. And, you know, just the guy was in tremendous shape. He created the Jeet Kune Do style of fighting. And, boy, just a guy you probably never wanted to mess with. You know, he's one of those guys where you go, I actually think he could do that. You know, I actually think he could kick your ass. You know, and just one of those guys that I got to have on my list. And so I made Bruce Lee my number five athlete of all time.
Surprising pick.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, because I would think of him more as an actor.
Yeah, I agree.
And as an athlete, but... let's face it, guy was definitely an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so my number four pick.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Maybe a little surprising for you.
Go ahead.
One that I figured that would have had to be on one of the top 10 lists, so I'm glad he's on mine.
Go ahead.
And that is Mr. Ricky Henderson.
See, now, he was, again, my top 15. I cut him off the list, but go ahead. Good point, good pick. A guy who completely changed the baseball games. Go ahead.
I mean... listen, the guy was stealing bases like you wouldn't believe for how many years. The guy was on a major league, not only a major league baseball, but was on an organized baseball team probably into the early 2000s, if not even longer.
Absolutely. Well into 2000s, yeah.
I don't even know how old this guy is. He may be closing in on 70.
No, he's not quite that old. I would say Ricky Henderson came up in 81. Let's say he was 20. So he's 65, 64, I would bet you.
We'll look it up right now.
Yeah, I would say he's in his
63.
Okay, I would have guessed in that range. So good. Okay.
He's 63. 3,055 hits, a batting average of .279, 297 home runs, 1,115 RBIs, 1,406 stolen bases, 2,295 runs. Real quick, you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Oakland A's from 79-84, New York Yankees 85-89, back to the A's for 89-93. Think he was done? Not even close. Toronto Blue Jays 93, back to the A's 94-95. Padres 96-97. Anaheim Angels back in for 97. Do you think he's done?
Nope.
Not even close. Oakland A's 1998, New York Mets 99-2000, Seattle Mariners 2000, San Diego Padres 2001, Boston Red Sox 2002, Los Angeles Dodgers 2003. He got 94.81% of the votes to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame on the first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he was in other leagues.
Yeah, he played in some independent leagues.
Yeah, and I'm just going by what his Wikipedia page said right off the bat. His longevity in the Major League Baseball, that's why I want to look up his stats too. The guy was stealing bases like a madman.
1,400 stolen bases. I think the next closest was Lou Brock at like 900.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to steal 75 bases for 20 years to even come close to the guy. I mean, it's ridiculous. He was the walking triple. Ricky Henderson's only problem, the early part of his career, right through the Yankees, was Ricky Henderson. He he just couldn't stay healthy, and I never thought he took the game seriously until it was getting later in his career. And then he turned he turned into loving the game. But when he was with the A's and then really with the Yankees, Jeff, the guy was a machine. He was hitting leadoff home runs. Walks, stolen bases. The guy was easily the biggest weapon in baseball most of the 80s.
Yeah, listen, Ricky Henderson,
phenomenal.
If he wasn't in the dugout or he wasn't in the field playing, you had to worry about where he was and what he was about to do. The guy was able to do it all. Not for nothing, almost 300 home runs. Yes, he played a long time, but in his early career, I remember him getting some big numbers. Not league-leading numbers, but he had respectable numbers for the home runs.
Yeah.
But your number four is who?
Yeah, Jeff, my number four is, again, a football player, but he's also a baseball player and a tremendous athlete and a guy that, you know, had not gotten hurt, could have been a Hall of Famer in at least one sport, and that's Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was a punishing and a Hall of Fame back in college, won a Heisman, ran for 4,000 yards in college on 6.6 yards a carry, almost went to the Olympic team but decided not to, played professional baseball for the Kansas City Royals. He had 420 home run seasons, which doesn't sound a lot by today's standards, but, you know, you go back to the late 80s and 90s, you know, averaging a part-time baseball player averaging 20 home runs a season is pretty good. Went to an all-star game and a Pro Bowl. Only guy to ever do that. And once made his baseball his choice, the guy had some good seasons. Again, just between how big he was, how fast he was, just one of the best athletes I have ever seen play in a baseball or a football game. The guy who probably did it best. I know Dion tried to do it. Brian Jordan tried to do it. There's been a few guys who've tried to do it. Nobody did it like Bo. And had he not hurt his hip, you know, the sky would have been the limit for Bo Jackson. So I put Bo Jackson my number four on this list.
Good pick. Good pick.
Yeah. Just one of those guys you got to have on your list, Jeff. So,
yeah,
so Jeff, go to your number three.
My number three, I don't know if you're going to agree with this one. This may be a controversial pick for you.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to give you my number three, and I'm going to run to the little boys' room.
Okay.
My number three,
yep.
LeBron James.
Yeah, you're going to lose me on this one. Go ahead. But, you know, you won't. I'll tell you why when you're done, but go ahead.
LeBron James came into the league young. Once he got going, I don't think there was a single year that he missed the finals. Maybe he didn't win a championship, but I believe he's been to more NBA finals than Michael was.
That's very true. Yeah, I believe so. He's lost more than Michael has he, by far.
Michael
but
didn't lose any.
Exactly.
So
yes, but yes, he has made a ton of finals, correct, with three different teams.
And for that alone, I had to put him as one of the best athletes. I just think that when you're, what is he, like 6'8"?
Six, yeah.
Closing in on 300 pounds.
6'8", 275, yeah.
And you can move the way that he does, and you're successful at it for such a long period of time, and you're still playing. You know, you're not just there because you signed a big contract. You're one of the better athletes in the world
I would agree with you, Jeff. In keeping with the theme of your list, he is a guy who completely changed. You know, 6'8 guy who can play point guard or center, can defend anybody in the court. Not my favorite basketball player. I'd rather have others, but a guy who's a tremendous athlete and a great basketball player, no doubt about it.
Just an absolute presence. And, yep. Please give me a number three so that you can explain. I got
to
run off.
Go to the bathroom. I'll do a quick commercial.
I'm going to get you number three, and then you can explain.
My number three is Michael Phelps, the swimmer. Michael Phelps,
okay.
23 gold medals, countless other medals. Go ahead. A guy who's dominated three Olympic Games well into his 30s. Good at his sport, wasn't even great at his sport. He completely dominated. He was the Usain Bolt of swimming. He outdid records by Mark Spitz, who was known as the greatest American swimmer, next to Ron Eli and some other people. But Michael Phelps was a guy when he got there and got to the pool, was whether it was in national competition or international competition, Michael Phelps was the best at it. And when you can dominate not only your country, your colleges, but the international scene, And into his 30s. This is a guy who was his last Olympics was probably in his 30s and was still winning gold medals and, you know, dominating and not just winning. I mean, when I watched Michael Phelps in the Olympics, he dominated. He just beat everybody by pool lengths. And to me, when you're that good internationally, when you dominate your sport, you know, I put people in the Olympics at such a higher level because you're not just competing with the people on your own team. You're competing with hundreds of athletes from around the world who, you know, for the most part are paid professionals. You know, most countries pay their Olympians to go out there and train year round. You know, we don't do that to that level. And to me, Michael Phelps, 23 gold medals in international competition, countless, you know, bronze and silvers. And, you know, to me, there's no way in the world I could keep Michael Phelps off my list. So he makes my list at number three.
I got to tell you, I didn't hear everything you said. I heard some of the things you said.
Yep.
So I actually left the bathroom door open so I could hear.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I had to kill this 1,000-legger, which I put it myself as number two on the all-time athlete list for this kill. He was so big. I get these things in my bathroom. I hate these fucking things. But anyway, I remember the biggest thing about him was when he got busted smoking weed out of an apple or something stupid like that.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, there's a guy who just, when you read the story, this was a guy who basically lived and died every day in the swimming pool, you know, ate perfectly, drank perfectly, you know, and then, you know, got to college and, you know, kind of lost his mind a little bit, yet still, you know, on top of everything else, 23 gold medals in the Olympics, dominating into his 30s. I'll cut him some slack if he went to college and smoked a little pot. I'm really not going to blast the guy for it.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure nobody else on either one of these lists ever smoked any weed before.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're back to the list?
Yeah, Jeff, you're number two. We're getting to the top of the list. Okay. Jeff's number two is up.
I think you're going to hate my number one.
Oh, boy.
I think you're going to hate my number one, man.
Okay.
You're going to hate it.
All right.
Well, I don't care.
All right, listen.
I think he's number one.
It's your list, so I cannot tell you who to put on it.
Okay. My number two pick
of
my favorite or best of all time, however you want to put it.
Okay.
Out of my top 10 athletes, Michael Jordan.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
All I can tell you, I'm only going to say one thing to explain why Michael Jordan is there,
mm-hmm.
and that is look at the Air Jordan logo. The man could fly.
Yeah.
The man scored. The man played defense. The man did everything. The man has more rings than he knows what to do with. He's an icon. I would put any basketball player from modern times to past up against him when he was in his prime, and he's coming out on top. But in my eyes, the greatest basketball player of all time. That's it. Michael Jordan.
I won't argue with you. I happen to agree with you. I am a huge Michael. I hated Michael Jordan, but I am a huge fan of what Michael Jordan did. And you're right. Again, another guy on your list who was a big guy, 6'6" or 6'5", you know, 200 pounds.
6'6".
Could move. And yeah, nobody. I mean, I know Dr. J did it, but Dr. J did not look like Jordan when Jordan took off from the foul line. He looked like he was literally flying through the air. And
he was above everybody else, man.
Yeah.
He was a once-in-a-generation player.
100%. And the only guy who even came close was Kobe Bryant, and Kobe was a step below that. LeBron's not on that level, and you're 100% right. That is the best basketball player that I have ever watched. And, again, to me, you know, listen, he won 3 gold medals, 6 NBA championships, Hall of Fame in college, Hall of Fame in the pros, national championship in college. I mean, the guy's done it all. You can't go wrong with that guy on your list. He didn't make mine again. Another guy who made my top 15 list, but I took him off.
And you know, just real quick, mm-hmm. some of the players that he played
mm-hmm.
with and against
okay.
in his career: Patrick Ewing, Reggie Miller, you know, Scottie Pippen, Rodman. Like, their careers all intersected at one point.
Sure,
in time.
Magic Johnson, Larry Bird.
Magic Johnson, Larry Bird.
Yep.
Kobe. Shaq.
Yeah.
Who was the kid? The guy was on Detroit. He ended up going and ruining the Knicks for 10,000 years.
Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm. I even think that him and LeBron intersected for a season or two, didn't they?
Not sure about that. LeBron's been around
Kareem.
For 16.
Definitely he intersected with Kareem.
Kareem. Sure. Listen, Adrian Dantley, Alex English, so many great players during Clyde Drexler. Dikembe Mutombo, Hakeem Olajuwon, yeah, and he's the best of all of it. It's not even a close second.
And there's Frank Catalano. How are you, Frank?
What's up, Frankie boy?
You're coming at the tail end of the 10 best athletes of all time. We each came up with a list, Frank. If you want to throw a couple of yours out there, you're more than welcome to.
I'm going to read back Jeff after my number two pick. I'm going to read back both our lists before we announce our number one, Jeff, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go right ahead, man.
So my number two pick, again, I chose, even though he's known to be a football player, one of the greatest athletes of all time, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
I love Frankie. He's the best. My number two pick is Herschel Walker, and I'll tell you why. Herschel Walker, beside being a Heisman Trophy winning, one of the greatest running backs in college football history, okay, is a fifth degree black belt, a guy on a daily basis who does like 1,200 push-ups and 2,000 sit-ups to this day. Forget that. The guy was a 1992 Olympic bobsledder, was on the 1992 Olympic bobsledding team, okay? Also fought MMA at the age of like 40-something years old, you know? So to me, this is a guy who was a better than average pro football player, a great college football player, an Olympic bobsled. I mean, just the fact to make the Olympic, you know, having never competed in the bobsled growing up, here's a guy who jumped on a bobsled and made the 1992 Olympic bobsledding team.
And not for nothing, before you go any further, I want people to realize, you know, Herschel Walker, he, as a running back,
mm-hmm.
he was a pretty big dude,
sure.
from what I remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you're putting him on a fucking bobsled team? You know what I mean? Those guys weren't that big.
No.
Bobsledders.
Yeah, I would think it's kind
of... He might have been more tall and lanky, but, you know, for length to get them legs going. But how the fuck did he even fit in a fucking bobsled?
I meant to go and check for some highlights. I wanted to get a video up on the screen of him doing it, and I think he was part of the four-man bobsled team. It wasn't like the two-man team.
Well, he'd have to be in the four-man.
Yeah. So, this was a big dude and, again, competed on the international stage in the Olympics. A tremendous college football player, a Hall of Fame college football player. Was a better-than-average pro football player. Played many years in the NFL. Fought MMA at the age of like 45 years old. And a fifth-degree black belt. Listen, this is just a tremendous athlete who to this day probably kicked the shit out of most people. And I had to put him on my list, and I made him number two. I got Herschel Walker, Jeff.
Wow. Okay.
So, again, no repeats on either of our list, which I like. It kind of gives you diversity. So before we each give our number one pick, I'd like to read back Jeff's list of top 10 athletes of all time, if you don't mind. At number 10, Jeff has Mike Tyson, heavyweight champ, a couple of times. One of the toughest and best fighters I've ever seen. Good call for Jeff. So Jeff's number 10 is Mike Tyson. At number 9, Jeff's got Wayne Gretzky, obviously one of the greats, if not the greatest hockey player of all time. People choose differently, but Gretzky was a game changer. At number 8, Jeff's got Muhammad Ali, the self-titled greatest of all time, a guy who was a three-time heavyweight champ, an Olympic heavyweight champ, and one of the greatest icons of his generation. Jeff, great pick.
Hold on, before you go any further, I just want to say, Mikey, I understand what you're saying, but you got to understand this much. We're up in New York. Mark Messier is a god up here. If civilization in New York goes on for the next 5,000 years, Mark Messier will be a god. That's all there is to it. Mark Messier is New York history.
I agree with Mike that Bobby Orr is one of the greatest. It changed the game for defense. The first guy who could – Bobby Orr could stick handle past six guys in a phone booth. No doubt in my mind, one of the greats. I'd have a hard time getting him on my top 10 list. But I also don't know if I would take him over Messier. You can argue a little bit over Gretzky with me because Gretzky was a great player. Bobby Orr did a lot of things. But Messier, just beside being a great hockey player, one of the greats on the ice and off the ice. So I'm with Jeff on that pick, but I do love Bobby Orr. Jeff's number 7 pick by happenstance is number 7 himself, Mickey Mantle, the first big man with a huge amount of power who was also one of the fastest players in the league, and a guy who basically will probably be talked about for generations to come. So I've Jeff, great pick at number 7, Mickey Mantle, a big man on the ice. Jeff's got 2 in a row, Mario Lemieux and Mark Messier being bringing in 6 and 5. He went back to baseball with a little bit of Ricky Henderson, probably the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. And a guy who was a walking triple. So Jeff's got Ricky Henderson at number 4. A little basketball jumped in for numbers 3 and 2 with LeBron, who is a big man who, could play anywhere from the 1 to the 5 and dominate on both ends of the court. While not my favorite player, a tremendous athlete. And, of course, the greatest basketball player of my generation, Michael Jordan, rounds out number 2 for Jeff. My list real quick. I went with Deion Sanders at number 10. I'm not a fan of Deion, but the guy was a two-sport star, college and the pros for a few years. Jackie Joyner-Kersee, not only a great UCLA basketball player, but obviously a great Olympian. Jim Thorpe, Mr. Everything, professional baseball, football, a tremendous Olympic athlete, made my number 8 pick. Number 7 pick, I went with Jimmy Brown. Not only some people think the greatest football player of all time, but an elite lacrosse player. So Jimmy Brown is my number 7.
You never knew that about him, man.
Yeah, I went with number 7. Went with my number 6 pick was Dave Winfield, a guy drafted by four leagues in 3 sports. Never played college football, yet was drafted by the NFL's San Diego Chargers. 22 years of baseball, we all know the story, Silver Sluggers. Just one of the best right fielders I've ever seen and a great baseball player. So Dave Winfield was my number 6. I went with an actor. Maybe some people know more as an actor. I went with Bruce Lee at number 6, a guy who's just reinvented martial arts, made it huge in this country. just a guy you didn't want to mess with, and I thought a guy should make my list. So Bruce Lee is my number five. Bo Jackson, the tremendous two sports star, if not for a hip injury, could have been a Hall of Famer in two sports. Definitely was on his way to greatness in football and baseball before his injury. But had done enough. I went with number three, Michael Phelps, 23 gold medals in the Olympics, dominated in the national and international stage. Couldn't keep Michael Phelps and his 23 gold medals off my list. And my number two, I went with Herschel Walker. Guy was an Olympic bobsledder, MMA fighter, short time, fifth-degree black belt, and an all-time college football player and a damn good pro player, Herschel Walker. So that leaves Jeff with our number one picks on the top 10 list. And I'm going to let you go first. This is your list. How difficult was it for you to pick your number one?
My number one was pretty easy.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because I thought about how good of an athlete this particular man was for years.
Okay.
Probably close to 30 years, if not more.
Wow. Okay.
He's one of a favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that you or many other people are going to go with it.
Okay.
But my number one all-time athlete of all time is Evander Holyfield.
Wow, that's really interesting. Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
The reasoning behind Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
Evander Holyfield was built like he was touched by the gods, man. But there's nothing could be taken away by the build of this man.
I would agree.
Every single time that he went out and fought, no matter who it was that he fights, he always seemed like he was on the losing end. He was going to lose, and somehow he ended up taking the fight to the distance. He didn't have the knockout power. He was always in every fight. I think I've seen him lose maybe one or two fights. I know he lost a little bit more than that, but I've never really seen him lose fights. I don't think I've ever seen him get knocked out. I've seen him go down, and he get right back up, and he continue fighting. To me, just between the build, the attitude, how tenacious he was, the number of years, he was another one that fought. I think he's still fighting on some levels here and there. Once in a while, I see his name pop up that he's going to possibly fight again. But he was fighting not too long ago. I'd say within 10 years ago, he was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So to that, for me, is just knowing everything. I mean, his brain is like mush. I don't even think he could spell his own name anymore. He got hit so many times. But the guy was just an incredible athlete. And to have such a longevity in boxing, and he went from cruiserweight to heavyweight, which, you know, most times you see people jump divisions in the lower weight classes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, cruiserweight is what, I think, right under 200 pounds. And then to jump into heavyweights, you know, that's a big difference. And he barely made it in there. I think he weighed, like, what, 220 pounds?
Yeah, it was basically a cruiserweight trying to fight in the heavyweight division and kicked the shit out of the heavyweight division.
And he was pretty successful at it, too.
Yeah.
He was world champion for a while. I had to give him the number one spot, man.
Very a very interesting number one pick. Listen, you can't argue with somebody's choice. That's your choice. Not necessarily I wouldn't think would make my list. It obviously didn't make my list. A guy who's in tremendous shape, a guy who fought in the heavyweight division, who were really more of a cruiserweight and dominated not only the cruiserweight division but the heavyweight division. Multiple heavyweight titles, and it's probably still ready to fight today. So,
Knowing that Mike Tyson was outclassed in his fight with
absolutely, 100%.
But just knowing that Mike Tyson resorted himself to biting off Evander Holyfield's ear because he knew that he wasn't winning.
Yeah.
Was not winning that fight.
He was completely.
It was a different Mike Tyson at that point in time.
Yeah.
But let's call it for what it was. Mike Tyson knew that he wasn't getting out of there without getting a beating from Holyfield. So he did what he had to do to try to stay relevant in the game. I think it was a panic move, of course.
Oh, sure. 100%. Yes. Of course, he was outclassed at that point. But, a great choice, a great list. And what I like about it, Jeff, whether he did it on purpose or not, you kind of kept to a theme of your list I'd say maybe till the last pick. You went with guys who kind of changed their sports based on their size or their skill set. You know, Gretzky changed things around, and then Lemieux changed things a little bit in hockey. Michael Jordan, LeBron, I like the theme of your, even Ali was a game changer. You know, guys weren't fast like he was in the heavyweight division. You know, I like your thought process.
Well, it wasn't purposely planned that way, to be honest with you, but it just kind of happened to fall that way. But one thing I will say, I said I was going to elaborate more.
Yep, go ahead.
About football, when you think of all of the different positions, there's different kinds of athleticism,
sure,
in football. I don't think that you could compare a quarterback to a cornerback, or a wide receiver to an offensive lineman, or a defensive lineman to a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, even though there's 22 guys on the field, there's different classes of athletes,
mm-hmm,
anywhere from speedsters to power lifters to, you name it, you could classify them as different ways,
yep,
in the NFL. So that's why I couldn't bring myself to pick a football player,
okay,
and put him on the list, because I just couldn't find a spot. Like, what is his specialty? He does something for 4 to 5 seconds, maybe 10 if it's a long play. Whereas hockey players go two ways, basketball players two ways, baseball players, they're running the bases, running in the field, hitting the ball. That's how I saw it.
I don't disagree with it. Like I said, my football players I chose were guys who were two sports stars. Not one of the guys I chose on this list was known for just being a football player. Not that, again, if you want to ask me who's a great athlete, I'll tell you that if you get a guy who's a, 360-pound, 6'6", offensive tackle who runs, a 4.9 or 5-second 40-yard dash, that's a tremendous athlete.
A tremendous athlete for his size.
Correct. I'm just saying but that's still a tremendous athlete to be able to take that bulk frame and make moves that these guys make. But I would not put them in my top 10 athletes of all time. To me, top 10 athlete has to be a guy who's above and beyond not just his sport, but maybe multiple sports. So that's kind of when, other than a pick or two, I tried to get guys who were big on international stages or across multiple types of sports. That was my thought process.
I know you have your number one pick left, and after you give us your pick, I just want to talk a little bit more about something that so far neither one of us has mentioned.
Okay.
And I'm just curious if there was a reason for that.
Okay.
All right, but I don't want to give it away now, because then I'm sure that you'll turn around and pick somebody from that field. And that's why I don't want to bring it up.
No, I have my number one pick. It's a little bit of a controversial pick, because this person was basically known for one thing, but it was above winning what he did. It was the time he won it. So, again, I'll make it easy. My number one pick is Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner won the decathlon in the 1976 Olympics. It was the year of our bicentennial. Of course, the country was down because Jimmy Carter ruined the country with his band of politics, and we're coming off of Watergate and all of that stuff that goes with it. But to me, what Bruce Jenner accomplished in that Olympics was nothing short of greatness. He had also won the Pan American Games in the decathlon in 1975. He competed in the 72 Olympics in Munich, came in 10th in the decathlon. The guy just set all sorts of records. To me, when you win an event like the decathlon, having to be so good at all these different events, maybe not the best at each one, but, equally good across 10, I put that up. And then when you do it on the world stage and you do it in, the year of our bicentennial and just the flag waving, to me it was no brainer. I chose Bruce Jenner as my number one athlete of all time, and it's a very controversial pick.
It's not.
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you why it's not a controversial pick, because I, too, was trying to find room for Bruce Jenner in the top 10. There's no doubting what he did in 1976 at the Olympics. If you doubt it, then you don't know what you're talking about on sports or any level whatsoever. You have to recognize and remember Bruce Jenner.
Yep.
I Remember, he was on the box of Wheaties and all of this good shit and for everything that he did. The guy was a tremendous athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So now he sits down to urinate. I mean, it is what it is. But I can't say that I would have made him number one.
Uh-huh.
But I could definitely see, because I thought about putting him on my list too. I thought about leaving off either LeBron or Mario Lemieux, but I just didn't because it was Bruce Jenner. You know, should he have been on the top 10 list? Without a doubt. I just didn't feel like talking about him, to be honest with you. That's why I didn't.
I was curious. You left him off because of his personal choices?
I guess for lack of a better term, I guess, yeah, that's pretty much, I guess, no. No, I think I left him off because of just the total disgust of his personal choices.
Okay. Yeah, again, you know, I also look at, here's a guy who, again, a great achievement. Not the only person, obviously, he's not the only person who ever won a decathlon, but he made an entire career out of one big moment in his life.
Out of a two-week span.
Yeah.
Career.
100%. And again, I always think guys like that who compete in events like that are tremendous athletes. When you can pull off 10 events, you don't have to win them all. You got to be in the top two or three in each one of those events. You know, it's hard enough, Jeff, to be, you know, it's hard enough to train to be a marathon guy or a guy who jumps to high bar, and you do that every day, and that's your one event to be good at it. To literally do that for 10 different events and win it on the biggest stage international. And again, the Olympics today don't even compare to what it was back in the 70s and before. And to do that on that stage. And again, I get the craziness of his life and the reality shows, the Kardashians, the transgender stuff. Well, you know, I put that out of the mix. I thought about it at first. But when I think about all of that and how good you have to be to win that, and in that year, man, I just could not keep him off my list, Jeff.
And there's nothing wrong with having him on the list. Me personally, I just kind of looked at it and thought about it and said he should be on the list without a doubt. And then I thought about some of the things you just said, you know, where his life ended up. I mean, how many years was he on the card, you know, keeping up with the Kardashians or whatever? And the man became a joke.
Yeah. And yes, I mean? Absolutely. And I will tell you that forget about the parts after when he came out and did all that stuff. Forget it. I never watched that show. My wife watched it, working on it, but they made him into a joke. And I think that's, for me, is when I kind of lost respect for him. He should have just said, "Don't put me on the show," because they made him into a joke.
He should have just been one of these guys passing through. Hey, how you doing? I'm just going to get some bread.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
But what I'd like to do now, real quick, is just make mention of some of the sports that I realized we did not pick from.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You didn't. Some of the observations I've made, you didn't pick one New York Giant player. I figured that Lawrence Taylor would have been on the list.
No.
Especially when you picked a few other football players. So I was